Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Thursday, September 26, 2019. Keith, it is blackout PSU week. Maryland, Penn State, Friday night. Maryland Stadium, sold out. I will be there. You will be watching. It will be a fantastic game, one of the biggest home games we've had at Maryland in a long, long time. I cannot contain my excitement, Keith. Give me the details.
Unless you've been living under a rock, if you're a Maryland fan, you're aware that this game is going on. Probably one of the most anticipated football games in College Park in many years. Number 12 Penn State coming to town on Friday, September 27th. A blackout, like you have mentioned. Both teams, Big Ten opener. So you're getting that first look of conference play, conference opponents this week in the Big Ten. Game's going to kick off at 8 p.m. Will be broadcast on Fox Sports 1, and yes, it is the first sellout in College Park since 2014, Taylor.
That's a long time. I was still in college in 2014. That shows you, or graduating college in 2014, that shows you how long ago that was. A humongous game for Maryland as they try to really make a statement starting Big Ten play against a team that many Maryland fans, let's just call it like it is, cannot stand in, up there at Penn State. The issue, Terps have not had a ton of success against the Nittany Lions. Let's get the ugly numbers out of the way. Terps trailed the series 238-1. Luckily, one of those wins is recent. It was in 2014 as Maryland went to Penn State and won 20-19. Played a close game in Baltimore after that, lost 31-30. Mike Locks is the interim head coach for that game. Have gotten pretty much shellacked the last 2 years. Terps have only scored 6 combined points in the last 2 meetings at Penn State. 2 years ago, lost 66-3 against a very good Penn State team in 2017. But this Maryland team has started very fast, two very good offensive performances against Howard and Syracuse in a statement game against the Orange, took a step back against Temple, but you can right all those wrongs if you can figure out a way to beat the Nittany Lions this week. Keith, you've got a couple keys to the game. Hit on your first one as Maryland tries to get a huge win against the Nittany Lions on Friday.
Well, we've talked about the run game on Maryland's side. I'm going to throw it to Penn State's side. Maryland's got to stop the run to have success in this game. Here's how many yards Penn State has gained on the ground these past 3 seasons and these past 3 meetings. In 2016, 372 yards. 2017, 286. Last season at Beaver Stadium, 310 yards on the ground for Penn State. So Maryland knows this can't happen again if they want to pull off this victory at home. But this season, there isn't that bona fide bell cow back to worry about, right? You had Saquon Barkley.
I was about to say, Saquon
Miles
Barkley,
Sanders,
not a bad running back.
A couple guys who are doing in the NFL right now. So this year, James Franklin's kind of moved into that running back by committee approach, kind of starting with Journey Brown, the number one back for Penn State right now. But interestingly enough, Taylor, that quarterback, Sean Clifford, he actually leads the Nittany Lions in rushing attempts this season. He's got 25 for 113 yards on the ground. So that's got to be a big emphasis for John Hoke and that defensive group to limit Penn State in that running game, kind of force them into those third and long situations or third down conversion situations and get stops on D.
They had a chance to watch the Nittany Lions a little bit when they played Pitt, and they weren't exactly convincing in that game, only beating what is considered to be a rival in Pitt. Last time those teams are going to play for a little bit, 17-10. But Clifford is a guy that can definitely get outside the pocket and do some things with his legs, similar sort of to Trace McSorley, who beat the Terps on numerous occasions with the arm and the legs. As you said,
Now Baltimore Raven,
Trace McSorley, thank you. Now you don't have to deal with a guy like Saquon Barkley or Miles Sanders, and that's very, very nice. But as you said, Clifford's effective. And then Journey Brown averaging 8.3 yards a rush, Devin Ford averaging 9.8. So they're certainly getting a lot lot of yards on the ground, and the guys inside for Maryland at that first level. What we saw against Temple is Maryland lost at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. They have got to win on the defensive side of the ball. Guys like Olashon Oluwatimi have got to be very good. Brandon Gaddy have got to be very good inside there and make some waves and not have guys like Chance Campbell and Ace Ely and Kendry Jones and all those guys at the lineback not have to have the fill up those holes, let those guys come and make the tackle early, not let those guys get, you know, sort of blocked away because you weren't able to get anything at the point of attack. On the other side of the ball, Keith, my first key, Maryland's offensive line play has to be much improved from what it was against Temple on two fronts. First of all, for Maryland to win this game, its star running backs, Javon Leak and Anthony McFarland, have to play well. To give those guys holes, your offensive line has to play well. That's pretty obvious, not telling anybody anything they don't know there. But especially early in the game, Maryland needs to establish the fact that it can run the football to open up stuff for Josh Jackson and not allow Penn State to just pin its ears back and go at Josh Jackson on early downs. Because if Penn State realizes that they can stop the run with just a front four and not have to do a ton in that, they're going to be able to really mix around and make Josh Jackson's day really hard. The other thing about that is, as we saw, Josh didn't play his best game a couple of weeks ago against Temple, but also really had no time to throw in a lot of those situations. So Maryland's line has really got to compete up there. Johnny Jordan, Ellis McKinney, Marcus Miner, all the names we've talked about, you know, Sean Christie, those guys have to win. They have to come out and really compete against a talented Penn State front seven.
I think I saw a number 35 dropbacks for the Buffalo quarterback in that game, and only one sack allowed from Buffalo. Only one sack
against Temple
for Penn State.
Oh, Penn State.
Buffalo.
So, yeah, sure.
When they
Buffalo just beat Temple. So
that's
right.
Yes. But in their second game of the season, yeah. Penn State only able to generate one sack in that game. So maybe if you're Mike Loxley, Scotty Montgomery, you're looking at that Buffalo tape, okay, what did they do really well to limit that defensive line and those linebackers from Penn State? But my second key to the game, Taylor, avoid third and long. And I crunched some numbers here for you. So I want you to
I love when you crunch numbers, Keith.
Maryland, they were 5 of 21 against Temple on third down. Now 12 of those third downs were 8 yards or more to convert. And Maryland only converted 3 of them, and one of them was converted on a penalty. So you're looking at 2 of those 12 third and 8 or third and 10, however long plays, were converted in that game. They've got to avoid those situations. Now, they weren't good on third down at all, as you can see in that game, but bottom line, if they want to win this game, got to avoid those third and long situations. Penn State ranks 25th in the nation in third down defense at the moment. First third and long against Syracuse, Taylor, it came in with under 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. They only had 5 in that game that were 8 or more yards. They were 11 for 16 overall on third down in that game. They need that type of performance or, you know, hey, keep that rushing game going and, you know, avoid third down altogether. But that's the kind of performance you're going to need against a team like Penn State to get the win on Friday. Your second key to the game,
Taylor. Just to continue to highlight that, when you watch that Syracuse game in those first couple of quarters, Maryland was converting a lot of those, you know, third and medium, second and medium type plays because they were able to get good yards, positive yards on first down. When they weren't able to run the balls effectively against Temple, that's what started to create a lot of those situations. One of the things you look at for the stats against Penn State from a Pitt perspective, they had a lot of success throwing the football. Kenny Pickett, 35 for 51 for 372 yards. So Josh Jackson's going to have some opportunities. On the other side of that, Pittsburgh gained just 56 yards on 25 carries. So Maryland, if they can establish some sort of run, that passing game is just going to open up even more than it might already be. And with that said, my next key is the Terps are going to have to hit a few big plays in this game on offense. I think to keep this crowd that is going to be raucous from the beginning, I think you really need to be able to get a long gainer in those first couple of drives to show that you can have some success. Let's be honest with ourselves. The University of Maryland football program does not have a lot of success beating Penn State. That's success early, especially if it's of the big play variety. And that doesn't mean a 50-yard pass. That just means you're hitting gains of 25 to 30, over 20 yards. Maryland had a lot of those type of scoring plays and gaining plays against Syracuse, and that stuff kind of went wiped away against Temple as Maryland really struggled. You've got to keep the crowd in the game with some of those bigger gaining plays and some of those really those type of gainers that really just sort of gash the defense. I think that'll keep this crowd in the game. There's going to be a big Penn State contingent here, too. And that's just a fact of the matter. So you're going to have to keep those people sort of out of the game. I think Maryland's got to hit on those big plays to you know, really keep the crowd in the game and keep them going. But Keith, I think the point you make about third and long is huge, because the other thing about that is when you're in third and 12 or third and 14, you've got to tape those longer drops. You allow Josh Jackson to get hit. You don't sort of get to run the offense that Scotty Montgomery and Mike Locksley want to. So those are a couple of keys. I think just in general, Maryland's got to start this game very, very fast. You have to keep this crowd in the game on a Friday night, one that is going to be ready for this game. I'm just very interested to see what the crowd is like, because there have not been a lot of games like this lately. The funny part about that is you welcome a guy like Ralph Frege back, and if you think back to some of those games early in the 2000s, you had crowds like this. So that kind of magic you feel like is sort of coming together in Mike Locksley's favor.
You're bringing in extra seats for the students.
Bringing in extra seats for the students. The student attendance should be awesome, and the tailgate scene out there should be very fun. Obviously, as we've talked about, from a game info standpoint, make sure to go to umterps.com, check on all of that game day info, because it is just a totally different situation. I'm not going to go into the details, go and read all of the things that have been written for you, but it's just a different scenario on a Friday night. Want to make sure everyone is there in the stadium, in their parking lot, ready to go, because this should be a very, very fun one. One of the weird connections for this game, Keith, is from Maryland wide receiver Brian Cobbs. Cobbs, a part of this sort of new cadre of Maryland receivers that are freshmen and sophomores. His father, Robert, played at Penn State, and we had the opportunity to talk to Brian about it. It was a very interesting conversation. Cool for him to be able to bounce stuff off of his dad. Spoiler alert, his dad will be in Maryland red. So we'll be going against Penn State. We'll go for a son. I'm sure it's not like that any other week for Mr. Cobbs, but it will be like that for this week. So let's get to our conversation with Maryland wide receiver Brian Cobbs. As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with Maryland wide receiver Brian Cobbs. First of all, Brian, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Second, you're taking over the Maryland football Instagram today.
Yes, sir.
And so I've got the Maryland football Instagram on my phone because I'm a big deal like that. So now we just need you to shout us out here. Hear the Turtle live on the show. You've got the power of the Instagram. Here we go.
Yes. We're on Hear the Turtle live with it. My guys right here.
There it is.
Hear the Turtle, baby.
Brian
the
Cobbs.
Turtle. Get ready.
There it is.
Boom. Simple.
And that's how you do a little live podcasting.
Yes, it is.
Live
it
podcasting.
For sure.
Right there. First of all, great season for the Terps so far. Offense obviously coming off the loss to Temple. Big game on Friday against Penn State. And you guys are coming off the bye week. What's sort of the atmosphere like in the building right now going into such a big game on a Friday night? First time Maryland's had a primetime game on a weeknight in a really long time. How are you guys feel going into this game?
I'd say the biggest thing, we're just trying to treat it like any other game. We can't really feed into the hype too much, because that's when we start getting away from what we know and then focusing on other things. So just try to – it is the most important game because it's the next game, but at the end of the day, we're trying to treat it like just another game, and then follow the game plans that we're implementing, and then hopefully we can come out successful. So
playing on a Friday night, kind of bringing back some of that high school vibe, Friday night
for
lights.
Sure.
You know, has that been kind of a discussion around the locker room with guys? Like, oh, we get to play on a Friday night again. Kind of cool.
Yeah, no doubt, because we have been playing at like 12 on Saturdays and stuff like that. So it's going to be real cool. We're probably going to be one of the only games on TV, primetime football. So we're all real pumped for that and just ready to go out there and just play to the best of our abilities.
You had a nice game against Penn State in the season finale last year, sort of building in your freshman season, now sort of playing a little bit of a bigger role. Does that performance give you some confidence going into a game against a talented team like Penn State, where you feel like you've already had a little success against them?
To an extent, but at the same time, last year was last year. I'm ready to move on, and just I know I've worked my butt off in the offseason along with my teammates, so I feel like no matter what happened last year, we can come out and just do something different from what we did last year.
And having a game like that in the season finale, does it almost just kind of give you that motivation going into the offseason? Like, all right, you know what, I can do this. I can make a difference on this team. I just got to put in the work now over the next 6-8 months.
Definitely, because at that closing out the season, we didn't close it out how we wanted to. But for me personally, it was like, okay, like I've been on the stage before. I know what I can do. And now what do I have to do to enhance my abilities and come out into the season so that I can make plays like that every game of the season rather than at the back half. So
the pundits on the outside for this team talked about how receiver was a little bit of a question mark going into the year. And you're obviously a part of a very young receiving core, a lot of underclassmen.
Yes, sir.
Did you
guys
have that motivation going into the summer? Like, okay, everyone thinks Maryland doesn't have any receivers. We're going to show them that there's guys on this team that are talented that can take it to the house on any given play.
Yeah, we actually thought like that last year when we all came in. When we got together and really started working out, we saw the potential that each of us had. And from day one, we bought into each other. We trusted each other with what we can do. We know if the ball's in the air, any one of us in the room can make a play. So I feel like just the trust that we have in each other really takes things a long way.
What's the bond like in the receiver room with you guys? You said you all came in and sort of had that same similar motivation. Do you guys are hanging out all the time sort of talking about that, doing things off the field?
Definitely. What's that like? Definitely. Whether we're in meetings, we're all sitting next to each other, walking through the building, playing games in the lounge room. Weekends when we're off, we're all chilling together. So I feel like there's no disconnect when we get away from football. So I'm really happy with the way that we kind of bonded and stuff like that, and I really think it translates over to the field.
What is Brian Copps better at than all those receivers? If you've got one thing that all those guys would say you're the best at, what is it?
I'd say just overall hands.
And there it is. Oh, he's the hands guy. Love that.
We saw you taking the jug.
Yeah, that's say. The man's getting in extra work. You can't knock his extra work.
Yes. I know. Any type of catch that's in the air, I know I can make it. And I'm not discouraging any of them. They made great catches as well. But I know in that department, that's my specialty.
Now, is that limited to just footballs? Are you catching other things? Maybe some smaller targets, basketball? I mean,
I did play baseball.
Okay.
I had a good amount of success in that. And then,
so you're fielding grounders, barehanded.
Yeah, what was your position in baseball?
I'm lefty, so I play pitcher and first base, and then right field.
Okay, nice. Gotcha.
Tracking the ball, I'm pretty good at that.
Now, not surprising you have good hands. Your dad, Robert, played football at Penn State, actually, which is an interesting storyline for you going into this. What will he have on? The Maryland colors or the Penn State colors?
Definitely Maryland.
There it is.
Yeah, definitely
will
Maryland.
There be a Penn State shirt underneath, or is it just straight?
Okay. All right. Straight Maryland. Okay. Yeah.
What do you remember kind of from, you know, growing up around him? Did he tell you stories about his playing days, or, you know, did he take you to games, anything like that?
We didn't really start going to games until probably recruiting, once our recruiting started up. And then as a young kid, he wasn't one of those dads that tried to, like, glorify what he did through me at a young age. He kind of just – he, I guess, downplayed a lot. Like, yeah, I played at Penn State, blah, blah. I didn't really know too much. And then once I started visiting Penn State and stuff like that, and I saw a lot of the alumni that he played with, I was hearing nothing but great things and, like, how good he was. And then I started getting familiar with the internet and everything, and I see him on YouTube and all that, and just the different types of plays that he was making. And I knew that I wanted to be a really good college football player like him.
Is it cool for you to be able to go to him with different things throughout your college football career that you know he has the experiences doing? What has that been like, you sort of living your college football experience with a guy that's so close to you that has gone through so many similar things?
It is, I'd say, a real big advantage for me. A lot of guys aren't fortunate to have something like that. So I know with him going through stuff, no matter any types of question, whether it's training camp, workouts, what I got to do as far as practice and getting my body right, he's been through the whole thing. So he kind of knows the ins and outs of that. And then as far as, like, I guess, really just how to handle stuff mentally, they were going through a lot tougher stuff then. There were a lot less, like, rules in play as far as training and stuff. So if he made it through a lot of stuff, I'm like, all right, he made it, so there's nothing I can't do.
I'm sure he's told you maybe a couple two-a-day stories or say, back in my day, we were in 100-degree heat and all that.
It was like there was no weather regulations or anything like that. Yeah. So that kind of puts a new perspective to things with me. Just the amount of work that he put in and how he was able to compete.
You talked about watching your dad on YouTube. Scout Robert Copps, the player. What'd you see? What does he do well? What could he improve on? What does the son have to improve on? What kind of player was he?
He had great feet. Didn't really matter who was lined up against him. He was always either in the guy's hip pocket or right there to make a play. He wasn't as big. I'd say maybe the weight factor could have probably helped his game a lot, but for being 175, 180, he was coming down hitting guys a lot bigger than him. So he definitely had that dog in him.
Now, you're from Virginia. We always talk DMV, and it feels like when we have guys on, it's always D.C. and Maryland. Rep the Virginia factor of that a little bit. You got some talented guys on this team from that state.
Yes, sir.
Talk about Virginia football a little bit and how that kind of contributes to this Maryland team as a whole. Obviously, you from Alexandria, we have all the guys from the 7572 Virginia Beach, those type of guys. What's the talent coming out of there like that helps this Maryland team?
I'd say no different than the talent we're getting from the D.C. and Maryland guys. We got dogs out here, especially in the 757, and then up north where I'm from. And we also got a couple guys on the team from like the Loudoun County area. And it's no difference. A lot of people kind of don't really, I guess, pay attention to Virginia football. I think like Virginia football is softer or whatever, but I guarantee if they come and play certain schools, or if we put the kids from Virginia all together, they could really make a run.
The V is important too for the DMV.
The V of the DMV, yes. Very important. Yeah. I was about to say, if we do a little 7-on-7, I don't think those Virginia kids are going down.
Torrey Smith, Virginia guy.
Yes.
Recently retired. Yeah, that's right.
My high school 7-on-7 team came up here and we went to the championship both times.
So there you go. There you go.
Doesn't really matter.
It does not matter. No. If you can play, you can play. Brian, we'll get you out a little here on a little bit of rapid fire. First, your favorite play of your entire football career, what is it?
Just the play that I made or just play call?
Play that you made. Play that you made. Remember, like, if you're, like, going to bed, you're, like, need to get yourself to sleep, you're, like, let me think of my best play. Like, what's coming up?
I'd have to say I think my sophomore year, I ran, like, a seam down the middle. That was my first varsity game, first start. And then it was, like, triple coverage. We all jump up. I come down with the ball. And I think that was one of my first catches of the game. So that was kind of, like, my welcome to high school moment, and then after that, I guess my name started kind of popping up everywhere. And then I also had my senior year, I had a really good, we were like probably on the 5-yard line or so. I ran like a slam, but I kind of just worked out and then cut it back in and like went up top on the kid. And I have a really like cool picture in my house actually. So that's probably my most memorable play that I made, the going up top on the kid.
I'm sure you're thinking about it every time you walk by that picture. Like, that was a pretty fun play. I enjoyed that.
I can replay it through my head all the time.
TV show you're watching right now.
So Chig actually got me on to a little bit of anime. So
we talked to him about that two weeks ago.
So, I started I'm pretty far into a little bit of Naruto. I'm actually watching a Money Heist right now. Pretty much the whole team has finished that, so I got to catch up and get into that.
This has become the anime podcast of Maryland football.
We're
talking anime every week. Did you know, we heard last week from Tyler Mabry that he watches anime each night before the games. He like at the hotel gets under and watches anime.
I think I would know better than anybody. That's my roommate.
There you go. Oh, there you go. So
is there?
So roommates actually
at the view.
At the view. Okay. So you got way more than Mabry does. He just has to experience. Are you Mabry's not your room at the view too, is he? So he just has to experience at the hotel. You're away. Okay.
Yep.
How much anime are you guys watching together? What is the schedule?
None together, because he's been watching it since he's a kid. So he's
on a little bit.
He's probably watched the seasons that I've watched 3 times over. So okay. He's the expert on it.
The music artist you're listening to right now?
It's an assortment.
Give us a little sampling. Like, what do you got?
NBA Youngboy.
He comes up every podcast. That's our guy.
Gunna, definitely.
Okay. Gunna,
who else am I liking right now? I have to say, no cap. He's new, but they play him a lot in the locker room, and I like him.
Okay. There you go.
Very nice. Favorite all-time vacation you ever took? Whether that's as a kid or recently?
Had to be Disney World.
Yes.
Favorite ride or kingdom you visited or whatever?
That's a classic.
Animal Kingdom, probably Mount Everest, I think.
That's a great ride. Went there in June.
I think that was it, yep.
Where would you like to go that you have not been? What's on the bucket list that you would like to go from a vacation standpoint?
Definitely the Bahamas.
Bahamas is nice.
There's no like rides or anything like that, but now that I'm older, it feels like a spot that would be like real relaxing.
There's a beach
like
you can
that.
Lay on.
I was about to say,
that's
the only exactly the only ride. Speaking of bucket list, the bucket list sporting event you would like to attend?
Super Bowl.
There you go.
Either Super Bowl or NBA Finals.
There you go. Yeah. Well, Super Bowl, we need you to be playing in that. That's what we need to be doing there.
We'll get you out on this one. We ask everybody, your favorite place to eat in College Park?
Favorite place to eat in College Park? Might have to go with good old Lots of Pizza.
Lots of pizza. Yeah, okay. Create the pizza for us. What is the order? What is the Brian Cobb's order?
So they have the carnivore. I think that comes with pepperoni, sausage, and maybe a little bit of chicken.
Okay.
Then I throw on Parmesan, a little bit of barbecue sauce, and I think some oregano, and that's about it.
That's all you need.
That sounds pretty good to me. That might be the first Lots of Pizza we've had.
I think Maryland Women's Lacrosse.
They're lots of pizza. They love the Lots of Pizza.
People shame me a good amount, but I still haven't been to Marathon. I got to get
to
marathon.
Wow, no marathon. I'm not going to. I want to shame you, but you gave us your time, so I'm not going to shame you. But you have to get over there. You have to get over there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know what's been the holdout. I just, whenever it's late night, I always end up going to
lots of pizza. Okay. Well, at some point, we'll have you back on, and we can talk Marathon Deli, because at some point, I think you're going to make it over there.
Yes, sir.
Brian Cubs, good luck this Friday. We've enjoyed watching what you've done. This can't wait to see you play on Friday Night Lights for the Terps, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait, Brian, to get after it.
Back here on Hear the Turtle and Keith. I mean, Brian Cobb's got to go to Marathon Deli one time.
He's going to make it there.
He will make it. The best part about that was he knew we were going to shame him, and so he made sure to say he was going to get there. I've not heard a lot of lots of pizza. Connected to Maryland Women's Lacrosse. We got some of it there, but great to talk to Brian. It was interesting talking to him about his dad, and you have to imagine that was pretty cool for him to have a guy that's been through all of the wars in college, and you can call him when you have a bad day at practice or even a good day, and he can either build you back up or say, son, there's a lot more work to do. That's a pretty cool thing for someone to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Then having that game against Penn State last year in a season where you knew you weren't going to make a bowl game, but you have that opportunity to go out in that last game, have a couple good gainers, and then, you know, get that motivation into the offseason, which he said.
For sure. Interesting to hear him also, yeah, as you said, talk about, you know, those young receivers that, and the talk really was around Maryland, that who was going to catch the passes this season, and you can tell that motivated that group of young receivers, and they have played very, very well so far. Dante Dimas, Daryl Jones, all the different guys, that young group of receivers, and they're going to have to make a very big impact in this game, Keith. Maryland's going to have to stretch the field a little bit.
Let's hope that receivers come to play. Let's hope the entire Maryland offense comes to play and get back to that kind of Syracuse kind of offensive performance that we saw a few weeks ago.
For sure. Definitely seems like there is opportunities. As we said, Pitt had some success throwing the football against Penn State. This does not look like, and I say this, and then Penn State will come out and play really well. Watching them didn't look like the Penn State team of the last few, like, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where they looked like potentially a playoff contender. Certainly a top 20 team, no doubt about it, and extremely talented. But Maryland has the opportunity to do some good things. Will be a really interesting game to watch. Also, just for the amount of connections between these two programs. Obviously, Penn State head coach James Franklin coached at Maryland on multiple occasions, coached with Mike Locksley. You have 6 players from Pennsylvania on Maryland, 13 Penn State, Maryland, 6 players from the state of Pennsylvania. Penn State's 13 players from the state of Maryland. You have all these guys that have played together. You have all, you know, the recruiting battles between these two schools that have happened now and will happen in the future. So a lot on the line in this game. It should be a very, very fun one. And I just can't wait for the crowd. Every time I think about it, I can't wait for that stadium to be full and for it to be rocking, Keith.
Well, is the kickoff yet, man? I'm ready. I'm ready to go now.
I am absolutely ready for it. So hopefully this helped you get towards your kickoff. Waste a little bit of your time as you try to get to 8 o'clock on Friday night. This should be a very, very fun one. Make sure to go back if you haven't. Go back to listen to our interview last week with Scott McBrien. Talked a lot about this Maryland team and also about Ralph Friedge and some great stories from Coach McBrien. And then we also threw in there a little Olympic sports report with head coach from Maryland Women's Soccer, Ray Leone, and then sort of reviewed some Maryland Olympic sports as well if you want some information on that. So make sure to go back and revisit those collaborations that we had with some of those guests. But that is enough for us this week on Hear the Turtle. Thanks to our guest, Brian Cobbs, for giving us some of his time this week. Enjoyed the conversation with him. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels, Keith, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram, Sned301 for Keith, Taylor Smythe 10 for me. Follow the Pandas Win kickball team. That's what I'm just going to throw that shout out in there, Keith.
you're talking about your kickball team that won the championship.
I'm going to shout out.
I'm surprised you haven't brought that up yet.
I'm stunned to have it, too.
I should have set you up for that.
Yeah.
So here, I'll toot Taylor's horn here. His rec kickball team, or his co-ed kickball team, won a tournament at DC United Stadium at Audi Field.
Yes.
It was a collection of championship teams from around the area.
Yes.
And Taylor's team won.
We did win. We are the.
Is that your greatest athletic accomplishment in your life? Would you say?
Probably.
Okay.
I thought it was finishing second in Lack Splash, when I was 10.
I think I would put that above.
What is your greatest athletic accomplishment? Would you say?
I mean, well, I haven't won any kickball tournaments.
All ACC rugby.
Maybe 3 times, but who's counting?
I'm counting because rugby, Keith, Rugby World Cup going on right now. There you go. Yeah, make sure to follow the Pandas. Make sure to follow the Rugby World Cup for the greatest rugby player in the history of Maryland athletics, Keith Sned. That's enough for us. We'll see you next week. Hopefully after a Maryland win over Penn State.
Go Terps.